Hello and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lawless Luke Cutforth.
I'm a criminal.
This week we're talking about monetary malfeasance and common criminals. But first, I've got a little question for you, Luke.
I didn't do it.
To the question before I've even asked it. It's, have you ever committed a crime, allegedly, in Minecraft, on Roblox, in your imagination? If you had ever committed a crime in your dreams, perhaps, what would that crime have been, allegedly?
I did not steal a little toy train from a toy shop when I was four. Corey, for God's sake, leave it alone.
That is not the worst crime you've committed. Come on.
Sure, but it's the funniest.
Being a YouTuber is the worst
it's the one I remember the most. It still traumatized me to this day. My parents made me take it back. They made me take it back and apologize.
That's, so then you've not even really committed a crime. I think if you steal, get caught, and then give it back, I don't think you've committed a crime. You know, you've just borrowed.
There was a story I saw recently about a guy who, like, there was £1 million accidentally sent to his bank account and he refused to give it back and he went to prison for a year. And the story was like, that's a great trade. You get £1 million when you come out. That's fantastic.
But I mean, I'm sure they would have taken it off of him to send him, like, if they can send him to prison, they can probably take the money from him, right?
I don't know. Don't know what country it is. Don't know what the law is.
Depends on the prison, but probably, right?
Yeah.
Let's get into the episode then, Luke. Or why don't you answer the question.
This is why I need
properly.
To read more than the headline, isn't it? Yeah. Then I'll know this information.
When you were saying to me that this was something you read, what you'd meant was that you'd just read the headline.
Well, I read the... Yeah, I said I didn't lie. I said it was something I read. I read them more than the headline when it's important, but not when it's just some crap about...
You don't know if it's important until you've read it.
I do know it's not important that some guy's gone to prison for a year for refusing to send back £1 million. I don't care. He's probably fine.
What if he was black, Asian, minority ethnic, or minority ethnic, Luke?
Well, it depends what country he's in.
Well, would that not be important, though? Would it not be important if the law was exercised?
I think if I'm going to go along those terms, there's probably a lot of other important stuff I should do first.
Okay, well, look, I get it. I get it, you know? These things aren't quite important to you. Black lives matter a little bit less than other things, right? We've got more important stuff to be... We've got new bathrooms being fitted that we've got to focus on, right?
Yeah, I have got a new bathroom being fitted.
And look, where is your space to honor the fallen in the civil rights movements? Have you had that fitted?
I've put a little plaque in my bathroom.
Oh, have you? Just a little plaque. I see. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a small bathroom.
It's a separate one, right? It's a coloured bathroom, right? That's the one that I get to use when I come to yours.
You don't say that on the podcast, Corey.
Okay, no. So you've only committed one crime, right? And that's stealing of that toy.
I actually stole a different toy once as well.
What? Oh my God. Okay, right. It all comes out. Tell me.
It actually wasn't a toy. But anyway, carry on. It's not interesting.
No. So I want to be clear. I need more information. And
yeah.
for you know, my own journalistic integrity, I need to ask some more questions, because you've just gone from only ever having committed one crime, which is stealing a toy, to having admitted to committing a second crime, which was stealing a toy, which you've just said was not a toy. Please elaborate.
What it was, you know, when you go to like a shop where they sell like iPods and stuff?
An Apple store.
No. It was specifically John Lewis, and they have what they have. Okay, or like a phone shop.
If you're going to be so specific, why not just say John Lewis?
Because I don't know, international listeners. And what they have there is they have a bunch of fake iPods, like dummy iPods and dummy phones and stuff. And I stole the little dummy iPod because I thought it was fun. So it was a toy. It was a toy iPod in a sense. And again, my parents made me take it back. I had a very embarrassing childhood,
dude. Like, the fact is that I did not realize you did that as, like, a child at the age where your parents...
I didn't do it as an adult. I didn't do it last week. I just bought an iPod.
I was thinking, like, a teenager. Like, you did
that.
No, no.
I was, like, seven, yeah.
Okay, right. Well, so you've only committed crimes before you're, like, legally culpable for them, which is classic Luke. Anyways, let's get into the study. So the study we're going to be talking about today, Luke, it is called The Dishonest Disposition and Everyday Economic Criminality of the British Public. The authors are Shepherd, Button, and Hawkins. It was published in the Journal of Economic Criminology in September 2024.
The Journal of what now?
Economic Criminology.
That's a whole journal.
Lots of journals are very specific.
Okay, yeah. Right, cool. Fascinating. So basically, people who are reading economic criminality suddenly go, because presumably they're like, prosecutors, judges, lawyers. Suddenly they're like, oh God, I've got to arrest the whole, either I've got to arrest the whole country or I've got to arrest like nobody because kind of everyone's at it. Have I just spoiled the episode?
No.
Is that what the Lily Allen song Everyone's At It is called? It was about this study.
Luke, you say something entirely out of pocket that is honestly borderline insane. And then you're like, have I just spoiled the episode?
Why is that borderline insane? You have to explain, because clearly I think it's fine.
You think that judges are reading the Journal of Economic Criminology to figure out who they should...
No, I'm not saying they were reading it to figure out. They're like, oh, but this person did a crime. I better prosecute them. I'm saying that maybe they're talking about theory, like legal theory and like updates to precedent and stuff. That's what lawyers and judges and people have to know. They have to know the precedent and all the case law and everything. So that's, you know, where better to read about it than the Journal of Economic Criminology?
I think the easiest way to do it is just you put people on a scale.
There's
a few scales you can use.
Yeah.
Two main ones that are used in tandem are class and race. So you just decide it based on that, really.
And then designed a scale that measures that.
Yeah, how dark your skin is and how little money you have. Those are the two main, very easy scales to figure
order,
out.
Order,
right?
Right. How much money you got? Oh, not very much. Well,
how many times have you been skiing?
Look, have you been to Mallorca recently, or is that just your normal color?
Do you go to Benidorm, or do you go to somewhere that's nice? Tell me now.
Johnny Vegas on the stand. Oh.
Goodness me. All right. So that we've only said the title of the study and who wrote it and where it was published. I should tell you what the study is about. So the study, it looks at the British public and then it tries to assess the relationship between dishonest attitudes and economic crime, Luke, specifically comparing the results from their 2023 research study. The research was done in 2023,
mm-hmm.
And then they published it in September 2024, I assume. I don't know why I'm getting stuck on this point. It's not. It doesn't matter. They compared results from 2023, like a study in 2023, to a study in 2011. So the 2023 study looked at 1,000 people. The 2011 study looked at 2,000 people. Now you might be thinking, Luke, which you know, of course, would be new for you, but you might be thinking,
rude. I have thoughts.
Rarely, yeah.
I didn't say I have good thoughts.
I want to steal that fake iPod. I want to feel steal the fake iPod. I want to take it.
That was a thought, and I gave into it.
Yeah, thank God for your parents pulling you away from a life of crime, right? No, so you might be thinking 1,000 adults is quite a small number to make judgments about the UK, but it's actually apparently a fine number. I looked it up. I checked. 1,000 is good.
As in like sample size wise?
Yeah, for the UK, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you only need 1/70,000th of the population.
I guess. I don't know, man. Here's what I looked up, and apparently 1,000 is pretty decent. It's fine.
Cool.
It's fine.
Because that's already a lot of people to talk to. So if there's more, we'd probably just give up.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, Luke, do you have any idea what this study is actually about then?
From the title, I think it's like, are the British public criminals? Probably yes.
I mean, yeah, kind of. It wants to look at the sort of dishonesty in British people and how dishonesty
sorry, carry on.
And how dishonesty relates to crime.
Oh, interesting. So like, are you a liar and does that correlate with whether you're a criminal?
So the paper is looking at dishonest attitudes and how they are related to economic crime. I'll tell you what economic crime is in a minute. Once I find it in my notes. But before I get to that, I want to tell you about the introduction to this study, because it opens so strong, like out of nowhere. So I found out about the study from a tweet, basically. I saw someone tweet something and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Followed the link and then found the original study. And then that's what we're doing the episode on. And so when I went to, I had a sort of basic understanding of what the study was about from an article written about it by the University of Portsmouth or for the University of Portsmouth or whatever, right? And so when I went to read the opening line of this study, I was very much taken by surprise. Donald Trump is a habitual liar. Excluding the lies he told in private, he publicly lied on average 20.9 times per day during the course of his presidency.
Yeah.
His mendacity peaked at 503 false pronouncements on November 2nd, 2020, a day before the general election. Whilst Trump's exceptional level of public lying is a special case, a symptom of the post-truth political era, he nevertheless uses dishonesty as a tool to achieve his power ambitions. It is perhaps unsurprising, therefore, that he's also a fraudster. Trump's businesses... illegally profited by $355 million as a consequence of falsified financial statements, falsified business records, and insurance fraud in relation to the gross overvaluation of its property assets. In his findings, Judge Engoron wrote, "The frauds found here leap off the page and shock the conscience." He also noted, "This is not defendant's first rodeo," citing four prior cases of white-collar fraud involving Trump and his businesses.
And this was written in 2024, and he's done loads more crime since.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, a lot of worse crimes have come out about him since then, right?
But I mean, just financial crime as well. But also, yes, there's other much worse crimes.
I feel
yes.
like when you do the crimes that he has done, the financial crimes are fine. You can get away with those, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a slap on the wrist after, you know, all the other stuff.
Whatever. You do as many financial crimes as you want, buddy.
Let you off all the financial crimes if you just accept the other crimes, okay? That's your plea deal.
Yeah, so instead of, having a fine on top of your million, bajillion life sentences, you can have that fine waived. Wouldn't that be nice?
You know what? I'm down with that. I'm fine with that. If he wants to plead guilty to all his other crimes, I'll let him off the rest, and I think everyone else should join me.
I have not had any lights on this entire time. Oh my god. Okay, well, that was in it now, isn't it, Luke? That's part of the show now.
Oopies.
We took a break, and then we came back, and I wasn't prepared. I'm sorry to everyone watching, and this is why you should listen to the podcast. And you should actually watch on YouTube as well. I don't know what I'm saying.
You should both listen and watch on YouTube.
At the
simultaneously.
Same time. Yeah, yeah. Open
one
up
in each
on Spotify,
year.
Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Do it all at once. All max volume. Drive around. Play it on your car radio as well. Let
Get
the people know.
Get one of those
know.
Big bands with the TV on the side and just play Side Guys out. And then the speaker is this. That's the YouTube video on the side. And then the speaker on the top is the podcast version.
And if you do that, we will maybe say thank you if we remember.
Yeah, we'll maybe deign to say thank you if you go to that level.
So back to the study. Look, I want to make it clear that I am not saying that Donald Trump did any of those crimes or told any of those lies. That's what the study says. You know?
I am. I'm saying that he did.
Well, that's because you don't care about going to America. I, on the other hand, would love to get in. And so I'm saying that, you know, maybe Donald Trump deserves the benefit of the doubt for all of the horrible lies that he's told.
Someone just give him a break for once. For God's sake, let the man rest. Please,
yeah,
let the man
break.
Rest for a very long time.
Rest in peace, you know. And I want to be clear, that's not a threat. That's not a call to violence. I would very much like the man to break a leg on stage. And I'd love for him to have a peaceful, restful sleep.
On the doctor's orders.
That's what I'm saying. And nothing else. There's nothing else to be gleaned from our words, Luke. Is that correct?
Stop reading between those lines. There are no lines. It's a podcast.
The party's final, most essential command to not believe in the lines. There you go. That's it.
That's it.
Nailed
that's
what it. George Orwell wrote. George Orwell, by the way, I saw it written once as Jor-Jor-Well, as in J-O-R-J-O-R, and now I cannot read
like
the name.
Like Jar Jar Binks' brother.
Yes, except that's not how naming conventions work, ever.
Jar Jar Binks and Jor-Jor-Well.
Oh, your name sounds kind of similar. You must be related. Oh, Luke Cutforth? Puke Muttforth? You guys must be siblings.
And their cousin, Taman Pala.
Taman Pala. Right, okay, Luke, why should they do this study, right? If they started off talking about Trump being dishonest, what is the point of doing this bloody study? Tell me.
Well, to find out whether, is Donald Trump a criminal? Or is it just everyone a criminal? In which case, you know, everyone's a criminal. Lay off the guy.
No, it wasn't that. I think...
Is this a study by Trump?
No.
Going, I know I'm bad, but everyone's bad.
No more mention of Trump, because the study doesn't mention Trump again either. I'm pretty sure.
It doesn't need
to. It was just like a cold open, you know what I mean? Like a grabbing kind of like, oh, we're going to talk about Trump. They're like, it's kind of, right, if you want to talk about something, often what you'll do, if you watch a video essay, for example, what people might do is they'll talk about an extreme example of the thing that they're going to be talking about in the video, even if it doesn't relate to the sort of topic of the video throughout, right? And that's what's going on here. They've chosen perhaps the most famous, infamous, and prolific example of a dishonest criminal that they could, who just so happens to be the president of a country in North America. I won't say which one. It could be any of them. Could be any of them.
Oh,
with the initials
Mark
DJ
Carney,
Tweedy.
You massive criminal. Oh.
Well, I don't know, Luke. It, you know, the jury's still out. they basically want to look at the link between dishonesty and crime, which is what I've said already, and they kind of point out some issues with dishonesty research. You might know about these, Luke, because you studied economics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you know about economics and dishonesty research?
Nothing at all.
Well then, give back your degree, because you should know things about this. That's what you study for.
I'm so sorry.
Well, look, you may have received your degree dishonestly, but for those that didn't, they would know. Much of the literature into dishonest disposition emanates from the psychology and economics scholarships. The research is dominated by laboratory experiments that test participants' willingness to lie or cheat in set tasks or games. And essentially, they go on to say that the problems with this is that, you know, you're asking people to lie and cheat in games that don't really have high stakes. People also know their subjects, right? So their behavior is going to change based on that, right? Like someone who will perhaps say lie or cheat in a game in a study like this is not someone who is necessarily going to steal from a child, you know, on the street.
Although, I mean, we had this big conversation once because I found a guy on the Traitors really freaky. Because he was really good at it, but like freaky good. And you tried to convince me to give him the benefit of doubt, and I was very much not up for it.
No, I don't know, man. I just liked it. I liked how he played the game. I think he played the game well. And then spoilers, he was put out, right? Because he got too arrogant. Yeah.
He did, yeah. My wife Rebecca, when we watched it, she said that man's never going to date a woman ever again.
Oh yeah, no, I don't see how a woman could trust him. I mean, he seems like a sociopath. But I think, honestly, having that kind of mentality really works for a game like the Traitors, because the Traitors, the problem with it is that it's not about really social deduction. And that was made evident when they had, like, I think with the celebrity Traitors, because these people
they
are
were
more
so bad.
Well, this is the thing, these people who are more able to kind of control their image, and generally I would say you have perhaps people who are on the whole more curious or sometimes smarter than average.
But and also crucially, they knew each other already, so they'd be better at reading each other.
I was saying, like, when I say smart, I mean like more that sort of thought process. It was Stephen Fry specifically saying, look, we have nothing to go on. The only thing I have to go on is that Traitors would be up late at night and Kat sleeps a lot. And Kat got out of that expertly. Like, I was
very
literally
good
sat there.
Deduction, though.
Like, watching the TV on the edge of my seat being like, okay, now bring up the ADHD and autism. Bring up the ADHD and autism.
Every
bring
time!
It, up.
It was so annoying. Every time she got accused of anything suspicious, like, well, as somebody with ADHD and autism,
dude, it is the,
I was like, you can't use
thing.
It for everything, man.
But you can, because you saw how people immediately were like, oh, well,
yeah,
I don't want to touch that.
Oh, I can't. I'm going to look bad on the telly, and I'm a celebrity, and I don't want to be banned from the BBC.
Dude, it was brilliant. It was fantastic. But no, Stephen Fry pointed out, yeah, we don't know anything. And so any that's the thing with the Traitors. Any sort of any claim that you make, any sort of hint that you have, people take that and they're like, okay, no, I figured it out. All of these things that I've spotted add up to this, and they don't really consider that what they're doing is just finding a pattern from noise, essentially, mm-hmm. right? It's very, very hard to be in a game like The Traitors or what is it called, like Werewolves or whatever, right? The original sort of game that it's based on. That being a game like that and actually have enough information to deduce anything logically, right? Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is you have, like, sociopaths can do quite well, or people who are, you know, sort of good at lying and feigning emotions or being manipulative in some way, they can often do well. But then what also happens is people who know that someone is good at that sort of thing, when you're playing, you know, not the Traitors, like celebrity Traitors, for example, you'll just pick on people who you think might be good at it because you assume they'll probably be the person who is the bad one. And that's why I can't play those games, Luke, because everyone always chooses me, even when it isn't me. They're like, you're good at this game, and so I'm just going to take you out of it just in case.
There'll only be losers left. Just loads of losers being bad at the game, which is actually fair how it ended up in the celebrity Traitors.
Because that's what the Traitors want. They want losers. And that's, I felt so bad for Jonathan Ross, because whenever I've played those games, I'm Jonathan Ross. I swear to God, everyone is always like, specifically, like, you are good at this, so I'm getting rid of you because I don't trust you. Even when I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
Because me telling the truth in a game like that and me, like, not telling the truth, can often be like indistinguishable.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be able to read you, and I speak to you all the time. I've still have no ability. I'd just be like, right, guys, let's get rid of Corey. He's scary. He does too good at this.
Like I play, and I also play it like I will mess with people's heads in in normal games. Have you heard of Blockus, Luke?
No.
It's a game where you put blocks on a board. And you have to stop the other people from being able to put down their blocks. They're different shapes and sizes. It's a fun
game. Physically, like you kick them and push them away. And...
No. Plastic blocks on a plastic game board.
I'm smaller than you.
Plastic blocks on a plastic game board. I was playing it with Noah and Phoenix the other day. Two friends of ours, right?
Well, not mine. I don't like either of them. But okay. Yeah, you're friends with them.
Yeah. I suppose the feeling is mutual. I don't like them either. No, but I was playing with them both. And I realized that they were both kind of trying to target me to block me out of being able to sort of finish the game.
That's why I don't like them.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's
both racist.
That was, I liked them up until that point because I thought they were racist, but then they turned it on me and that was a problem. But no, so what I did was as soon as Phoenix put down his piece, I didn't even look at what he did. And I was like, oh wow, he's got you there. Literally wasn't even looking at the board, and immediately following that, those two focused on each other because I had sown the seeds of them working against each other, and so they started to like focus in on each other, and then I was left to just finish the game happily by myself.
Wow.
Yeah, there's not even any need for mind games in a game like as simple as Blockus, look, but I'll do it. Mm-hmm. No, so we've spoken about the sort of problems with dishonesty research, right? That the looking at these sort of studies, they don't necessarily extrapolate out to real life and actual economic crime. And speaking of economic crime, Luke, because you studied economics, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Good at economic crime. You're right. Yeah.
What are some economic crimes? What is economic crime? And can you give some examples?
Fraud.
Yes.
That's an economic crime. Mm-hmm. Theft. Thefting of money.
I don't have that on my list, so you're wrong.
Insider trading?
Probably. I'm looking at the bottom of this, and there are lots of words on the bottom. So it might be there on the bottom of my list, but I'm not quite sure.
Oh, like extortion? Like taking money from somebody by pressuring them or by lying to them? That's a sort of a form of fraud, I suppose.
And how about the ones that you haven't done this past week, Luke? Any other ones?
Just listing. This is just my calendar I'm
reading.
Right, yeah. Yeah, my to-do list.
Economic crime is, and I'm again, this is a quote, a typology of offenses that are characterized by financial harm and dishonest intent. And the list that they have in this study includes bribery, fraud, intellectual property crime, money laundering, industrial and economic espionage, and market manipulation.
Sorry, I'm just writing these down so I can add them to my to-do list.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, God, busy week now.
Luke struggles to get out of bed, but also does market manipulation.
Do so much crime from my phone, it's fine.
I know, right? It used to be that phones could only really do like crimes like calling someone and harassing them, but now you can do good, proper crimes on it. It's pretty cool how technology is advanced.
A bicycle for the mind.
Oh, goodness me. So, those are economic crimes. It costs the UK a lot, apparently. So the total annual cost of fraud across the UK's economy is estimated at £219 billion. And the government acknowledges its loss to fraud and error is between £33 billion and £59 billion each year, which is 2.6 to 3.8% of its income and expenditure.
Oh.
Yeah, it's mad, right? Oh. It's insane. I don't really know. This is okay, right? There is some stuff that's brought up in the study that I'm not necessarily super sure about, because like obviously I'm not saying the data is incorrect, but how it's framed and the sort of conclusions we draw from it, I guess are kind of up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm not an economist. But Luke, you are a well seasoned economist. You've done several taxes.
I've done so many taxes.
Exactly. And the biggest crime you've done is... No, I'm not going to... I don't need you getting audited, okay? That's not something that needs to happen.
Which one of the toys I've stolen is the biggest toy?
Did you put those stolen toys on your tax return? Like, that's the most important thing to know.
No, because they weren't income.
Oh, I see.
You don't have to report it.
Actually, because you gave them back, right? So
It wasn't a two... The thing is, in accounting, it's a two-side transaction, and there was no other side because... I just nicked it from them. So there was no one to put down.
Okay,
so I had to just cook the books a little bit, my little 8-year-old, 7-year-old books Oh, I found this money somewhere. Whoopsie, I found this iPod shuffle somewhere.
If you were to tell me that there was a kid that was doing his own taxes before he even had to, I would believe that kid was you. You know?
I was doing my taxes when I was 14. 14 or 15, yeah.
You had to do taxes when you're that young. That doesn't count. That's
all
you do
yours. If you're a YouTuber.
I disagree. I think if you're not able to, you know, vote. Yeah. Or do any other sort of things like drink or murder or, you know, drive a car drunk.
If you're not allowed to murder, you don't have to pay tax.
Yeah, you're allowed to murder. It's like, what's that, 16? 18?
Oh, because it's not murder because you're a child. I see.
No, okay. No, I mean when you're legally allowed to start murdering people. What age is that?
Oh, I think it's 90.
I thought, oh, right. They keep on putting it up, right? They keep on
putting it
up.
Yeah, because then they're just like, oh, well, you're too old. There's no point sending you to jail. compassionate grounds, release.
I think that is until you're able to vote. You shouldn't be paying taxes.
In all seriousness, when I started earning money on YouTube, I thought that you didn't have to pay tax till you were 18. So there's probably one, there might be one year where I like probably should have done a tax return and I didn't because I didn't know. I mean, it would have been tiny amounts of money, but there was definitely a time when I found out, wait, you have to do taxes when you're a child if you earn money?
Luke is responsible for the NHS suffering is what he's saying here.
I'm so sorry,
your
guys.
Tax money. You could have put tax money towards helping the public, you know, public funds and all of that. And instead you put it to your high level thievery.
My £50 a month of YouTube revenue.
You put it all into massive heists where you would steal fake iPods and then give them back to the shop.
Yeah,
right?
And then give them back against my will. Well, I'm so sorry. Well, Labour government, when you need an economic scapegoat, you can point all your fingies at me. This guy, we need to get him. He's responsible for the... It's not the migrants, it's this guy, it's Luke.
Honestly, dude, I feel like things are getting so bad, I wouldn't put that out there because they might take you up on that offer.
First, they came for the YouTubers.
I mean, good. Yeah, first they came for the YouTubers and I said thank you.
And I said, good work. And then I went home and they didn't come for me.
First, they came for the YouTubers and then I started a podcast and things were... Generally,
first
fine.
They came for the YouTubers and I made a film. Then they came for the filmmakers and then I started a podcast.
Fraud and crime, bad things, right? They cost money. And they also then looked at consumer behavior. One study from 2023 estimates that 52% of global consumers and 36% of UK consumers knowingly buy counterfeit goods. Yes. I mean, yeah, absolutely, right? Like a fake designer bag or a fake designer top or a fake designer watch.
That's interesting actually, because I don't care. But also
okay, moving on then.
Yeah, but also like who, you know, when you have counterfeit goods, you think instinctively, you think that the victim there is the person buying it because they thought they were buying a Prada bag and they got a fake Prada bag. But actually, all they care about is I have a bag that says Prada on it. I don't care if the money goes to Prada. So they're knowingly buying the fake bag.
Because it's cheaper. Like, it's only a problem if they pay for
it. I know there's an intellectual property issue there, but like, I care about that a lot less than a person who thinks they're buying a Prada bag getting scammed with a fake Prada bag.
Oh, I mean, I would care about it if it were a person that was being harmed, but Prada isn't a person.
Yeah, they're not.
The devil wears Prada, Luke.
I don't think that. Do they have a birth certificate?
The devil wears Prada too, which means Prada must be bad.
You're so right.
I've not seen the movies. I can only assume that in it, Meryl Streep is literally the devil, and she runs a fashion company where Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt kiss because they're gay, because it's hell, right?
That's correct. That's a good read of that movie, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yes, I'm a cinemaphile. No, I don't want to say that. Bring it back, Luke. Here's some... This is such a mess of an episode already. Let's get it back on track.
Yeah, crime.
No. What, okay. Yes and no. Let me just read out what I have in front of me.
Conflicting statements, but I'm confused. Am I meant to be doing crime or not?
You're not meant to be doing crime, no. You're the only one that isn't. The laws aren't for everyone else, they're just for you. Has anyone mentioned that yet?
What, that's so annoying.
When I say they're not for everyone, they're just for you. What I mean is they're not for people like you. They are for people like you, by which I mean people that don't have the amount of money required to have literal get-out-of-jail-free cards. Yeah.
Oh
yeah, once
annoying.
You hit like a billion or so, you're good. You can do all the crimes you want.
All right, okay, all right, I'll add that to my to-do list. Get £1 billion brackets through crime question mark.
That's the only way you could do it. That's the only way.
That is, yeah.
Get £1 billion without exploiting someone? Impossible.
Imagine before we had billionaires, if somebody had said, I'm going to get £1 billion, you would have thought that person was mental.
Do you not want to help people, maybe? Do you just want to see number be big? If you want to see big, why don't we do this? Right? And I feel like I have said this exact thing on the podcast before, but I'm going to say it again anyway, because it needs to be said. Just give them fake bank accounts. Just give them, do you know how kids have like toy tills and everything? Just give them a card, right? That when they put it into a thing, or they look on their account, it has big numbers and it says, you're cool and everyone likes you.
Massive penis.
Huge penis.
Really funny. That's what it says
so
as well.
Funny,
really funny.
So
cool.
Funny. And
everyone
also
likes
very sexy
you.
Too. Very sexy.
Very sexy, yeah. Mm. So you need to get them basically the equivalent of like the little baby till that I had for my baby.
100%, Luke. If we can speak to what VTech and see if we can
figure out some kind of...
Also, it's going to be made of just like steel, you know? It's going to be made of steel. It's going to have lots of sharp edges, and it's going to be like poorly made, of course.
Spikes.
Yeah. Such that like if you drop it, it's going to break something, you know? Think like Cybertruck. But slightly better and a till. That's what we're going for. So this is some more from this study, just the introduction, right? So this is talking about previous studies. Another study in 2023 found that 22% of UK consumers purchase counterfeit products because the items are endorsed by deviant social media influencers. Speaking of which, if you'd like to buy some fake Prada bags or some fake Gucci slippers or some fake Black Magic cameras, just give Luke a call. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell? It is, okay? I don't know where this ad is starting, but it started. Go to our Patreon, sign up to it, please buy our merch. It makes us able to eat and then make this show. Because we tried making this show without eating any food, and it's a lot harder.
I'm kind of doing that now, to be honest.
If you don't give us money, Luke will starve himself. Not on purpose, he literally can't afford food.
Please, I'll give you fake Sci Guys merch.
This close to eating his baby. It's so close. Honestly, he said to me he was looking at her today and she looked like a tasty sandwich.
That's revolting.
And he thinks it's disgusting and he'd still do it. That's how hungry he is.
You gotta put some bread on first.
A nice sourdough, right? You know, I think that'd really
nice
compliment.
Sourdough bread. Slap that on. Delicious. Now I've got the meat, I've got the energy to do a Sci Guys episode.
And all you need to do is wait 9 more months for another. Okay, should we go back to this this episode then, Luke?
Yeah, please.
So, Luke, I was trying to tell you about things that young people do. I was about to get into that. Young people apparently are more likely to be sort of dishonest, do these dishonest things. The most prolific of buyers, 44% of the 16 to 24 age group, when it comes to buying things that are counterfeit in some way, right?
Yeah, because they don't have enough money. That's fine.
Yeah. Sure.
Let him off. Come on. Be nice.
This is another example here, so I'll just read this out. Drawing on a broader sample frame of UK citizens aged 12 years and over, the IPO estimates that 32% infringe copyright by accessing online content illegally. The youngest age group, 12 to 15 years, is the most likely to access digital magazines illegally, which was 57% of the age group. I didn't know that there were magazines that people
digital
were reading
digital magazines?
No clue what that
what
actually means.
What nerd is downloading? You wouldn't download a magazine.
A graphic novel, a comic, maybe, but like a magazine? Like the only magazine I have heard of being like digitally downloaded is KoroKoro, and that was back when Pokemon was announced in KoroKoro, right? Like new Pokemon games, things would be released in this Japanese magazine. That's the only time I've seen people like digitally sort of pirate magazines, right?
Like I said, what nerd is digitally downloading a magazine?
This one,
the question
I am me.
Imagine if somebody was digitally downloading like a porn mag, not knowing that they could just go on the porn website.
I mean, nowadays you can't do that, right? With the UK and all.
Maybe you can just torrent nuts instead.
So the software, which was 49%, music 32%, audiobooks 27% of them, and video games 22%, which surprising to me, right? Because like there's a massive online thing for downloading video games. Huge. Like there, you can go on a website now and download the ROM of basically any video game you want.
Oh, yeah, like Mario from the 90s,
up to like the 2010s, you can absolutely get basically any game in the 2010s. Yeah.
Well, I've got more stuff to do this week.
No, it's illegal, Luke. It's illegal unless you own the game already, probably. I don't remember what the law is.
I do own Mario Kart Wii. It's just in the dump somewhere.
But, like, if you think about it, right? There are emulators you can have on your phone that can play, like, Game Boy games, DS games and stuff. So, like...
DS games! I had that for a Game Boy game once.
Oh, it's...
Sorry, admitting to a crime.
I
downloaded Super Mario World on my iPhone once.
Not necessarily a crime. If you've bought the game, you have the ROM. So long as you're using a copy of the ROM you obtained illegally, that's fine, I'm pretty sure.
I did have it when I was a child.
And you used the ROM that you had.
And I did not use the ROM that I had from my copy.
Let's not admit to crimes, okay? Let's not have Nintendo breathing down our necks.
You're assuming I'm a Super Mario World? I don't care.
Nintendo are famously litigious.
Don't come at me, Nintendo. I did that, not do that. It was a joke.
I have no affiliation with Luke Nintendo. I love Nintendo. I love Mario. I love Pokemon. And I love, above all else, paying as much as you want me to pay for a Pokemon game. And that is true, Luke. That is so incredible.
Not the magazine, though.
No. It's Japanese. I'm not going to travel to Japan just to see what Pokemon are coming out, Luke. Okay, so he goes on to say, while these minor indiscretions are individually inconsequential, in aggregation, they can cause serious damage. The international trade in counterfeit goods is worth $464 billion, was a dated Frontier Economics report from 2017, estimated the annual global value of digital piracy at $213 billion.
Yeah, the trouble with that logic is that I don't think all those people would have bought it if they didn't pirate it.
No, exactly.
I don't think that stacks up. I get that much value was stolen, but... I also don't think that makes any sense.
But also the value of, like, a DVD or a movie is not... You can't say what the value of a movie is because it changes, right? You can rent a movie for £15 on Amazon sometimes, right? On Prime Video, they're like, here's a movie. You want to rent it? It's like £15. And I'm like, for 2 days? No. You can also spend like £25 on a Blu-ray. You can get it digitally on like Apple or somewhere else. I don't know. Or you could pay a subscription to Netflix, right? Like the value of a movie is so varied. Like, you know, the value of Arthur Braxton to you is not the same as the value of Arthur Braxton to me, right?
No, to you, it's way more.
Yeah, way, way more. Because I'm in it. Little old me. My
face on a
movie screen.
And I'll be cashing that check that you send me fairly soon.
For promoting it or...
just for being in it. Just for being allowed to be in it.
Yeah, we've not squared that yet, have we? No, so the actual study. Let's talk about the actual study. So it was an online survey of the UK public. It was anonymous. They used some online sort of polling or survey system called Qualtrics, which is apparently good. Widely used.
Not sponsored. It's apparently good.
I don't know, man.
Qualtrics.
If you want people to know that you're good, come and give us money. Because this podcast is a good opportunity for you. You know, you may be widely used in the science community, but what about being used by some people on the internet who like to listen to people talk about science in a rubbish way?
Yeah. No, you can't pay for that. You can't possibly put a value on that. It's unlimited value.
Yeah, but we'll cut you a deal. Just give us some money. Just some.
1p.
So as I said, the sample size was 1,000 people, lower age limit of 18. They split it up based on the UK sort of population, right, by gender and whatnot. So 48.2% were males, 50.3% female, and then 1.5% who didn't answer that question or put other. And then blah, 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 some stuff about senior patients, and senior participants were hard to get to, so they lumped them together or whatever for 71 years and over. It doesn't really matter. Who cares about them? They're 71 years and over. They're going to commit crimes. They're not going to go to jail, right? People who are old are allowed to commit crimes. We have been over this.
They've done their bit.
They put the time in. Yes. You know, they paid into their pension.
That's what retirement is, isn't it? I thought it was like, you no longer can go to jail.
Right, yeah. That's why when criminals come out of retirement in movies, right, then they're able to go to jail because they're coming out of retirement.
Exactly, yes.
But if they committed the crime without coming out of retirement, then none of them would be going to jail. That's my understanding.
That's the rookie mistake they always make. That's the downfall. You need to not come out of retirement, guys. How many times do you have to say it?
So basically, they then used the same questions from a questionnaire in this 2011 study. So remember, they're comparing some of their results to this 2011 study. So we could go through those questions later. But basically, they just gave them 15 deviant acts, they call them, deviant acts, and then asked the respondents to say whether they could be justified or not, and basically rating them on a scale. So 0 would be don't know, 1 always justified, 2 sometimes justified but depends on the situation, 3 rarely justified but depends on the situation, and 4 never justified.
Okay, I think we should do the, can we do the questions in the Patreon?
If I look down in my notes here, it says we should do this in the Patreon. So
great.
I think maybe
I
we
read
can.
Your mind. Now, it's just occurred to me when you've been saying that, it's just occurred to me that I know you were saying about, you know, someone who is dishonest might be more like, sorry, someone who's not dishonest might be more likely to be dishonest in a game scenario, in a sort of controlled environment where there's not really any victims or anything. Now, the thing is that my wife is a perfect example of that not being true, because she would find it incredibly uncomfortable to be dishonest, even in a sort of fake scenario. She feels guilty. If we play werewolf, she feels guilty for like voting for somebody. And she feels sad. Literally, this is a quote from her. She can't watch football because she knows that one of the teams is going to go home sad.
How have you married the sweetest person on the planet? That's insane.
Like, I tried to watch like tennis or football or something on the TV, and she's like, oh, I can't watch it, because she can watch it if we've recorded it, because, and it's a few days ago, because she thinks that they'll be okay now.
That is like, and I don't want this to come off in a rude way or anything, Luke. That's insane. Like,
oh, I know. It's like
behavior.
I was like, okay, empathy's so lovely. Sweet. You've taken it too far. you're now, that's dysfunctional. You can't enjoy things.
I can't watch,
but it's also
because
incredibly
some people
sweet.
Lose. Oh my god.
So I think that, like, I think that might be evidence for the fact that there might be some correlation between it, because she's also very sort of lovely and honest in her real life, and also too lovely in even scenarios that don't require it at all.
I think there's a spread though, right? Because the other day I found some dinosaur like toys from a Kinder Egg in my kitchen. And I was like, okay, well, one of these is like, you can put on a straw, and the other is another is a pterodactyl, which isn't a dinosaur, I know. And the third was like another thing that just was kind of a useless bit of plastic. And I was like, well, we can use two of these. I like pterodactyls, so we can hang on to that one. And the one that kind of attaches itself to a straw is like a fun little straw, like ornament thing. We can like still use that, whatever. But I'll throw out this third one because we have no use for it. And Noah, who obviously is a person who got these toys from the Kinder Egg.
He felt sorry for the third toy.
He felt sorry for the third toy and said, you can't throw it out.
I would so feel sorry for the third toy.
So
no,
now I have
no
still
way.
Have those three toys, because I'm like, I either need
yeah,
to throw them out all
too
out,
right.
Or find...
You shouldn't have brought them in the house if you wanted to get rid of them.
I didn't bring
buddy,
them in the house,
you
he
can't
did.
Throw... No, it's got a face. You can't, I would feel so horrible for the third toy.
It is so difficult, because I'm now like, can I just throw it out when he's not paying attention? It's a useless lump of plastic. There's nothing for it to do. It just sits there out on the counter.
I don't know how you can be so mean to it. That's so mean. Don't say those things. It might hear you.
It's not real, Luke. It's not real.
Excuse me. You don't know that.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen Toy Story. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. Toy Story basically infected me and Noah's brain into being sorry for every inanimate object, just in case in some way it has feelings.
Just in case it's a Toy Story situation. Yeah. Which, can we just say that, right? The toys that are harassing Sid for, who is one, probably an abused child himself. And two, yes, he's bullying his sister and doing that to her toys. That's bad. But traumatizing him for playing with inanimate objects in the way that he finds fun is like so uncool.
He doesn't know they have feelings, to be fair.
He doesn't know that he's doing...
He doesn't know what me and Noah know, that they have feelings.
He doesn't know that he's doing like crimes against humanity or crimes against toy manity, you know?
Yeah, I do think there's something a little bit messed up about really loving, like mutilating something that has the image of a thing that does have feelings.
No,
I still think that's something...
absolutely not. I think it's awesome to like take... I think it's creative to take toys and like remodel them to your own joy. Like that's...
He's
that's
a creative
really
guy,
cool.
To be fair, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
and he became a bin
he really
man,
is the
which,
sort
like,
of Leonardo da Vinci of the Toy Story movies, isn't he?
Exactly. And he became a bin man, which is just like, you know, he could have been an amazing artist, and they decided, no, he's going to be a bin man in the same place where he grew up, which is a great profession. You know, we need bin men. But
yeah, it's a bit mean, that, isn't it? Like, it's a bit rude. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a bin man. that's kind of like, oh, if you're a dickhead, you'll be a bin man when you grow up. One of my first girlfriends her dad was a bin man, and he was lovely, and he like became like the head bin man, and that was like a really cool job and really like important and loads of responsibility. Justice for bin men.
I think it's a great job. I just think that, you know, you wouldn't want an artist being a bin man when he could be making art. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But it's such a like creative person thing to be like, oh, imagine being a bin man. It's like, you're a knob.
Honestly, of all of the jobs, I think being a bin man would be generally fine. You've got a small group of boys that you're... It's basically like being a fireman or being in the police, but without, like, you know, having to do anything, like, dangerous or having to oppress minorities, you know? Like, it's...
I think being a bin man can be quite dangerous sometimes, but...
Look, compared to running into burning buildings, is being a bin man dangerous?
Well, but you've got loads of protective equipment when you run into a building.
Why might that be?
Because it's dangerous. I know that, but you don't wear loads of protective equipment as a, like...
Because it's not as dangerous as running into a building that's burning down. This is
yeah, I know. I'm just saying that, like, I don't think it's not dangerous. Like, I think people do put all sorts of stupid shit in their bin, and you can, like, get needles or get, like, broken plates and glass and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm not saying... Yeah.
They take the bin, they hook it up to the back of the bin thing, and then that tips it out. And then they take the bin and put it back.
You don't live where I live, where we don't have bins. We just have bin bags on the street. Yes. Oh, man. It's,
no. It's really dangerous being a bin man when there are no bins, which is, yeah, that makes sense, because it's literally what bin men's job title is named around, the bin. If you take out the bin, then it's a completely different role.
Oh, yeah. So they're a bag man. We got bag man where I live.
Okay, so moving on from that, we need to get through this stuff, right? So... They also had a behavioral element. They asked 13 questions, or they had 13 economic crimes, right? And they basically asked them to indicate whether they'd committed any of those crimes in the past year. So seven of the offenses were borrowed from a study from 2006. Used pirated material and purchased counterfeits were included to reflect the high prevalence of everyday consumer offending through online platforms. So that could be like, you know, I bought a dupe of this high street brand or whatever, right? Down to like, I watched a cartoon on the internet for free.
I really take issue with the idea of that being an economic crime. The economic crime is being committed by the producer of the good. It's not being committed by the person who buys it and goes down to their market and goes, oh yeah, I like the Nike tick, I'll have those tracksuit. Like, that's ridiculous. It's not an economic crime.
That's actually really interesting, because earlier in the sort of study, they mention sort of who does economic crime. And so they say occupational fraudsters are found in all levels of seniority. 19% of frauds are committed by executives, 41% by managers, 37% by junior employees. And so those sort of occupational fraudsters, that would be like insider fraud, like within your company and sort of and that sort of stuff, right? So they mentioned that. And then they also later on mentioned that individuals and small owner managed businesses are responsible for the largest portion of the UK's tax gap, which is the difference between tax legally due and tax that's actually paid. And I feel like in all of these things, there's kind of a running theme wherein, yes, I suppose people of the sort of in manager and junior roles, right? So those lower level roles are more likely to commit crimes than the high-level executives, right? And yes, maybe small owner-managed businesses and individuals are more likely to pay less in tax than they legally are obligated to. And yes, young people are probably more likely to buy counterfeit goods online or watch, download or stream things illegally online, right? But the people that seem to be committing those crimes less frequently are probably more likely to commit crimes that cost a lot more money but aren't actually crimes. Do you know what I mean? Like, things that are spiritually criminal, but aren't.
Yes.
In the way that Jimmy Carr, yeah. he didn't evade tax. He avoided tax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was perfectly legal. It just wasn't very, people didn't like that he did that.
We need a word for that. Like, doing something that is against the spirit of a law,
mm-hmm.
that you know is against the spirit of a law, but that you found a loophole. Like, that feels like it should at least either still be illegal, or at least we should have a word so that we can sort of go, this person is a this person. Like, it's because it's not being a fraudster, but it's sort of like, And I know it's, you kind of have to have laws that they have to be precise. And so you could never litigate it, but there's just something it's quite dehumanizing. Is there something we have as humans that's like a fairness thing, right? We have a sense of whether something's fair, regardless of whether it's actually legal or not. And that's why, for example, in this country, we have what's it called, jury dismissal or something, where like in the UK, you can be put on trial and you can have broken a law, but the jury can just decide, yeah, he did break that law, but the law's wrong. And then you can be acquitted despite you having broken the law.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing that we have that.
Yeah, like the jury can decide it's fine for you to break this. It was fine for them to break this law in these circumstances, which I think people were saying for, what was his name? Not Giovanni. He was the sexy boy who did
the guy who is accused of killing the
Luigi
Mangione. Executive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The sexy boy. Yeah. That, I knew exactly who you meant when you said
it was the easiest way to convey what I thought, Luke.
Sexy boy, murder baby.
Exactly. But no, I think, right, you know, and so there's that element. Yeah. Like the Jimmy Carr sort of thing. But also just like, you know, I mean, someone who is perhaps running a country, perhaps in North America, who perhaps has a meme coin, who perhaps is gained, like, you know, billions of dollars over the course of their tenure as a leader of a country. All I'm saying is that, like, if you're rich enough, you can commit crime. We've literally just found out that this whole, like, cabal of billionaires who are controlling sort of the media and the internet and whatnot are also running a word I don't want to say on YouTube because it will just stop us from getting any ad revenue, sex ring.
Yeah.
And that's just been going on. That's just been going on, and the FBI knew about it, and plenty of people knew about it, and almost bloody everybody who is rich is involved, rich and famous is involved, and there's basically nothing that we can do about it. So even outside of just, like, crimes that are committed, like, things that aren't crimes that probably should be crimes, right? Or, big businesses being able to use sort of tax loopholes to pay basically nothing in tax where smaller businesses wouldn't be able to do that, right? Saying that these groups of people commit more crimes
yes.
than these other groups is kind of unfair when it's like, well, actually, hold on. If we were to look at it morally, that other group would probably be committing more or the same, like, sort of level of crime. It's just the deck is stacked against...
They just
were
clever about their crimes.
Yeah, yeah, the deck is stacked against everybody else. You know what I mean? It's nuts. But we should probably get into the... Again, we should get back into the actual meat of the study. Someone's going to be leaving a comment, as I've said the past couple of weeks. Someone's going to leave a comment saying...
Needs more science!
No, they're going to say science. They start talking about the study here. This is where they start talking about it.
Great. Well, we appreciate those people for leaving us comments and making our stats go higher.
Absolutely,
thank
yeah.
you.
Leave
that's why we
comments.
Do it. We do it so you comment.
Yeah, that's why we spend 40 minutes talking about nothing. Just to increase engagement. It's not worked very well, but at some point I think it's gonna come around.
It'll be a tipping point. Million views.
No, so I hadn't even finished reading out all the sort of financial economic crimes rather that they'd added there. So 7 from an old study, used pirated material and purchased counterfeits were included as well. And then 3 work context offenses were also added to reflect the scale of the occupational fraud problem, which is accepted bribe, falsified timesheets, or exaggerated expenses. And that's the thing as well there. Falsified timesheets. So clocking in, like sort of clocking out, I guess, later than you probably should, or clocking in at the wrong time. That could fall under sort of timesheet, falsified timesheets, right? Like being paid more than you probably should have, or like not logging your break or whatever, right? Very small things that are then, oh, well, people who are like lower in the sort of more junior commit more of these crimes. And it's like, well, sure. But the people who are more senior are making boatloads of money for doing very little. You know, like this wouldn't be an issue if things were more fair. But they go on to talk about integrity scores. Now, this is something really interesting. And we're going to get our own integrity scores in the Patreon.
Oh,
and I'd recommend everyone do that as well, because it's quite interesting. So a quote here, the Whiteley report represents only the percentages who reported that acts were never justified. And the implication is that the remaining respondents believe acts were justifiable, either always or could be justified depending on the circumstances, right? And so what they've done is they've got a graph here, which I might put on screen, which compares responses from the 2011 survey to the 2013 survey. So just to quickly run through that, right? It's not super important. Again, I will probably have this on screen, but if you're listening, essentially, it's pretty much the same. throughout. Like, there are not many differences between 2023 and 2011. One of the main differences is that underage sex is a more sort of... underage sex is less justifiable, apparently, to the group from 2023. Drink driving is more justifiable. Falsifying benefit claims is more justifiable. Littering, accepting bribes, buying stolen property... they're all like seem to be a little bit more justifiable. Speeding is less justifiable in 2023.
Interesting.
And again, this is not like this is just according to these people how they have responded, right? I'm not making any sweeping statements, but to just kind of give you the rundown of results.
Why is married affair on there? Is that illegal?
These aren't the crimes. These are the integrity questions. So like keeping found money on there.
That is illegal, though.
Well, actually, I suppose adultery is.
That's what I'm finding funny, is that everything on here is a crime except for that one thing. And maybe it is in some countries, but like I don't think it is in the UK.
There are no laws on it, but I think this is more about just dishonesty, right? Mm-hmm. Or what you think is acceptable.
I love how it says take cannabis. Not smoke it, but just take it.
Yeah, take it from someone. Well, the police then. It's not okay for cannabis. The police to take it, because that's mine and I paid for it, thank you very much.
Yeah, the police do that all the time. They're the biggest takers of cannabis.
Yeah, but they commit far worse crimes as well, don't they? Basically, they kind of summarize that or surmise that sort of the relative acceptability of deviant acts has remained substantially stable. That's what they're saying about that, which is fair, right? Like British attitudes to these sort of things, you wouldn't expect them to change that much between 2011 and 2023. And the only things that seem to go up, like falsifying benefit claims, that makes sense given that benefits have been restricted and are like, you know, much harder to
always
get.
Always in the news, yeah.
Exactly, right?
And speeding as well.
Drink driving going down makes sense, but speeding going up and drink driving going down is interesting, right?
Yeah, drink driving going down is nuts.
Oh, sorry, being more acceptable. Drink driving
that's
is,
what I mean.
Drink
being
driving
more is acceptable,
more acceptable.
That is nuts.
But speeding being less acceptable. So I thought it was the other way around for a second. I was like, oh, well, you know, speed limits have kind of decreased, so maybe people are like thinking it's more acceptable to speed. But no, speeding is being less acceptable. I guess makes sense because there's been a lot of effort to kind of show the dangers of speeding. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm listening to LBC and I'm hearing people saying like, oh, well, it's actually really hard to drive at 20 miles an hour. My car wasn't made for it. Yes, it was. Get better at driving. It's fine. Just don't go fast. It's annoying, but don't go fast, you know?
Or go to Germany. Those are your choices.
Yeah. That's a different story, though. I trust Germans driving more than I trust British people. I can't tell you why.
Oh, but that would be British people could go to Germany and be really fast.
That should be illegal. British people shouldn't be allowed in Germany.
Come on, Germany.
No Brits in Germany whatsoever, except for me and people that I choose. I speak a little bit of German, Luke. That's why I'm allowed. I've made the effort to appreciate their culture. That's why I stare at people constantly without like letting up, just to be a little bit more German. Do you know they do that apparently? It's a German thing just to stare at people.
Like on purpose? Like are they trying to break you?
I don't know. I think there's in our culture, it is socially kind of unacceptable to stare at someone. When you're like, even if you're lost in thought or whatever, just looking at someone is kind of like apes in that sense, right? Looking at someone is kind of an affront.
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently that might not be the case in Germany. But then to continue on with the study, so to get this score, basically they ask you about all of those sort of deviant acts, and then they ask you they don't ask you anything else. They then basically give you the score by giving you points based on what you've rated them. So you can go from one to four, because zero would be don't know, right? So you kind of would eliminate that one. So the lowest score that you can get would be 15. So you think then all of these acts are always justified, right? And the highest
I think if you answer that, they should just be like, right, you need to, you're coming with us. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, man, no, little girl. So I hope someone knows what that's from, because otherwise
I have no idea.
No, so the highest score you can get is 60. They say that anything above 45 is high integrity. And lower scores are indicative of a low integrity disposition that tends to view acts as acceptable, sometimes or always justified, right? And the study found that 79% of Britons have high integrity and 21% have low integrity. This was the 2011 one. It also suggests that females have slightly higher integrity and younger people in general scored lower. But I think that also some of these things, you know, saying integrity, you know, underage sex, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like if you're if you're both 15, like,
yeah,
I don't think it shows a lack of integrity to think that it's sometimes fine for teenagers to do what teenagers are, like, biologically programmed to want to do at that time. Do you know what I mean?
I'm confused by the integrity thing, though. I thought integrity was sort of like, do you, it's like if you answered that question and then you also were asked, like, if somebody else was speeding, would you be fine with that? And you're like, yes. Like, not just preferencing your own needs over the needs of somebody else and being consistent in your beliefs as opposed to being, like, scattershot or selfish in your beliefs.
I think it's looking at integrity just as a sort of, like, moral integrity. Like, do you have good moral sort of things? Like, or do you think these things can be justified? But, like, you know, I think things like littering are, like, that's not really justifiable. You know, buying something that's stolen, if you don't know about it, but if you know that something's stolen, then yeah, that's kind of bad. But, like, you know, not paying fares, that's another thing where I'm like, well, for younger people, fares are increasing. They're getting more and more expensive and the services aren't getting better. So we're kind of living in a different world than people who kind of built their moral compass based on their upbringing, right? Than the world that they lived in. Taking cannabis, I don't think that, like, I think things like taking cannabis and falsifying CVs, these aren't things that I think necessarily are low integrity. Falsifying a CV is something that you're basically encouraged to do, right?
Like, yeah.
It's all so messed up now, right? Getting a job is so difficult now that, like, kind of zhuzhing up your CV a little bit.
But I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? Is that it, like, that I would still describe that as, like, having lowering your integrity, but the drive for it is because it's out of a need, out of a survival, because people do things that they wouldn't necessarily do in other circumstances because they need to do it, and they would feel like some discomfort about that, and that discomfort they feel about doing it is that feeling of, like, oh, I'm not acting with integrity, but they go, oh, well, I need to do it because of these other pressures on me, and I can't solve those pressures with any other way. So I think that sort of is still that. If you do the thing, but you feel the guilt about it, but you know you have to do it because of your circumstance, I suppose that sort of is the integrity conversation or feeling, you know what I mean?
I think it's best to not get stuck on the word integrity and just think of it as, like, just moral goodness.
But you're right that it's more complicated, because I would definitely think that somebody stealing something when they don't need to is way worse than somebody stealing something when they do need to.
Yeah, I think most of these things...
The crime is the same, but... And I know that some people won't... No, right, I know that there are genuinely people who wouldn't agree with that, but...
But those people...
I think
those people are wrong. I think those people... I think those people have a failing... fail in their empathy, right?
Yeah, I think they don't know what it means to need to do something like that then.
In fact, I would say that saying that things are never justified doesn't show greater integrity. It shows, like, a much simpler moral viewpoint.
Yeah, black and white thinking.
Yeah, which is necessarily just more likely going to be sort of, I guess, biased or in some ways incorrect. I think most things, you can find a case where they're acceptable, right? Littering, I would say, is never acceptable, but I can see, like, if you're being chased by someone and you have to drop your litter on the ground to make a speedy escape, then I suppose it would be acceptable in that circumstance.
Like one of those animals that poos itself when it needs to run away from a predator.
Yes, Luke.
I'm going to throw my crisps away.
I've seen you do that, Luke. I've seen it happen.
I don't know if we'd call that specific example littering, but I'm with you on the main point.
Shittering is what we'd call it. That's how they kind of give the score, right? And they wondered, basically, because young people have had lower scores on average, they wondered whether... it was a life cycle effect or a generational effect. Life cycle effect meaning that you gain more moral integrity as you grow older, and that's why there's a difference between younger people and older people. Or generational meaning there's a difference between generations, as in the younger generation will stay pretty much static in their beliefs, and they just have different beliefs to the... they have different sort of social values and things to the older generation. And again, this says... this says here, a generational effect would mean that the lower levels of integrity would be retained into older age and therefore cause a decline in collective social values. And I think if you're including taking cannabis on on that list.
Yeah, because that list would have had like being homosexual on it, like 50 years ago.
Exactly, right?
Like, it would be being gay. Although, you've got no integrity if you think that's okay. What's wrong with you?
It's like drink driving being on the same level as taking cannabis. Is in, not on the same level, but as in being presented as this is an immoral thing to do, is insane to me, right? Because drink driving, you're putting other people at risk. Taking cannabis is like drinking. Or
just
smoking.
For you. Just if there's you. Risk, it's for, mainly for you.
Exactly. And so they looked at the sort of integrity scores, but they also wanted to look at the behavioral aspect of it. So, you know, they've got accepted a bribe, avoided TV license, bought counterfeits, paid cash to avoid tax, exaggerated expenses, falsified benefit claim, falsified insurance, falsified refund, falsified timesheets, kept excess change, minor fiddle is what it said.
Minor fiddle.
That's what it said in the.
Just having a little fiddle.
That's how it's described in the questionnaire. We'll go through what they're described, what the questionnaire says.
Isn't that what that guy you were talking about, the leader of the North American country? That's what he was doing, wasn't it?
Yeah, just some minor fiddles. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of minor fiddles.
I feel so
actually.
Sad about that joke.
That was a great joke. That was a fantastic joke. Well done.
It made me sad though.
Oh. Yeah, no, this is horrifying. I don't want people to sort of misconstrue us talking about this often and making jokes as us being like, oh, this is silly fun. No. I think it's horrifying. And whenever I think about it, it causes immense dread.
Yeah, you just have to shut down, don't you?
But I also think that the ignoring it is bad. And so whenever we bring it up, we're making sure that people have to remember that that's what someone who allegedly is a leader of a North American country.
Allegedly as a leader. I agree with that statement.
Allegedly a leader of a North American country definitely did do some minor fiddles.
Ah, someone needs to lock Mark Carney up, don't they?
Padded insurance, take an item from work, or use pirated material. I've got in my office right now, I've got a Google Home that I took from work. My boss was like, take it. And I was like, yeah, I will take it, actually. They got two, and they didn't know how to connect them properly or whatever, so I just took the other.
But I bet they expensed both of them, which is a financial crime.
I also took a laptop from there as well. No.
Was it listed as a benefit in kind on your PAYE?
Luke?
Yep.
I don't know.
right there.
No, not knowing isn't a crime. Not knowing isn't a crime. And it was far too long ago for anyone to care about it.
What's the phrase? Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Luke, it's not my problem. Look, what happened essentially is I had a laptop to work on. And it was an old laptop, and they just never asked for it back, so I didn't give it back to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't even know where it is at this point. It could be literally anywhere. I don't use it. If anything, it's used as a prop in music videos and things. But no, let's look at the sort of how people answered these crime questions. So whether they'd committed any of those crimes in the past year. And it turns out that there are... For every single crime, it was above 0%, right? So it was actually, for every single crime, it was above 4% on average.
They were interviewing recently imprisoned people, weren't they?
No. Look, of 1,000 people, right? Of the 1,000 people, like about 5% of them, just under 5% of them said that they falsified a benefits claim in the previous year.
Whoa.
I know, right?
I don't really have a baby. I'm just claiming the benefits.
Because you ate your baby, right? As we've established.
I don't have one, Corey. It's not real. You can't hate what's not real.
And yeah, so they figured out that over a quarter of the respondents perpetrated at least one of the offenses in the preceding year. And extrapolating that out to the population of 53 million UK adults, the implication is that 14 million UK adults commit at least one financial act of dishonesty within a 12-month period. The overall offending rate of males, 34%, is nearly twice that of females, which was 18%. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's not surprising, but as well, when you've got, when I saw this headline sort of thing, or this tweet or whatever it was, I did what you do and I read the headline, but I did what you didn't, what you don't do, and I carried on reading after that. And, you know, the headline compared to what you actually read is mental. When you say 26%, over a quarter of UK residents have committed a financial crime or an economic crime within the past year, you're like, oh my God. But when you realize that using pirated material or keeping excess change
or not paying for parking or something.
Dude, people will always not pay for parking when they can get away away with it, right? People will keep excess change when they can. Using pirated material is like so bloody common. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't really, and a lot of these things don't really hurt anyone as well, right? Like,
yeah,
when the system is so stacked against everyone, you know, you've got hospital parking making people pay through the nose to park their car to go visit a loved one, you know?
Or to be sick. That'll be £50, please. You shouldn't have got ill if you couldn't pay.
The amount of money I spent when I had a grandparent in, like, literally dying in the hospital was obscene. And I had to go back out constantly, potentially missing the big moment, you know?
You could have missed the show, Corey.
What is the point of me traveling all the way to Scotland if I'm not going to be there for, you know, the changing of the guard?
The ascension. The ascension.
Yeah, sure.
You missed the spirit rising out of the body. It's like, bye-bye!
That's the only reason I'm there! That's all I'm there for!
The angel Gabriel couldn't wait any longer, Corey.
How am I going to be traumatized if I don't watch the light leave someone's eyes?
Okay, Voldemort.
No, Luke, that's the... Their eyes were closed, you see, because they were terribly ill. Anyways, I just think that it's really interesting to sort of put it out like this. Like avoiding TV license, taking an item from work, buying counterfeits, all of these sorts of things, right? Like, these are sure, I guess, crimes, but also things are expensive now. Things aren't fair. You're kind of just leveling the playing field. You know what I mean? Like, someone at some point must have said on this podcast that they thought it was morally acceptable to steal from shops like Tesco when, you know, whenever you needed to. Right? Someone may have said that. I don't know who
it
was.
Did I say that?
I don't know who it was, Luke. If I knew who it was, I'd say who it was that said that. For example, if I had said it, I would say, I said that. But I don't know. Luke, I don't know which one of us it was that said that, or if one of us said that at all.
I'm so confused.
But if it were me, Luke, that had said that, I guess what I would have said would have been something to the effect of, stealing from Tesco is fine because they're not a person. And in fact, they're stealing from you by, putting prices up so high when they don't need to. So that's fine.
Zing.
But I didn't say that. Or did I? I don't remember, Luke.
But it's not illegal, Corey.
No, exactly. It's not illegal. And so that's perfectly morally fine. But what is illegal is taking the sort of baby formula when you desperately need it. Baby formula and nappies when you desperately need it.
To hell with you. Off you go. Don't feed your baby.
This is the thing, Luke. You can say to me, you can say, well, Corey, you know, maybe we should get rid of all of these things as crimes, and we shouldn't see them as crimes. But I say to you, Luke, no. And I'll tell you why. Because I support the arts. And if stealing things like bread to feed your starving family wasn't a crime, we wouldn't have Les Mis, now would we?
Mm.
You hear that, Luke? You want to get rid of Les Mis.
That's why Tesco put the prices up. They're like, we need a new play.
Where is Victor Hugo when you need him? Okay?
The West End suffering. Come on, Andrew Lloyd Webber. We'll stick the prices up. Just write something, please. For God's sake, write something.
Oh, dearie me. Well, I think that's going to be it for now. We're going to continue this on over on the Patreon. Luke, is there anything else that you feel that you need to get off of your chest? Any crimes you want to confess to? Anything like that?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of something. I once claimed a train journey.
Look, there's no time. We have time. It's the end of the show. That is all from us. Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to all of our patrons again. And thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe to new episodes every Monday. And you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupforth everywhere.
And you can follow us both to the Patreon, where we're going to be finding out if we are criminals or moral upstanding citizens. I think I know which one I'm going to be.
Be gay, do crime.
Be gay, goodbye.